Father, thank you for what you have called us to be and to do. Thank you that we're a special people to you. And we pray that as we explore your word this morning, you'll show us how we can be different in a way, not that puts people off, but helps people, Jesus, to want to find out more about you and to follow you themselves. Amen. So, this is a question where you can put your hands up or shout out or whatever. How are Christians different from non-Christians? How do you expect somebody who followed Jesus to be different from somebody who doesn't, in general?
Respect.
That they would have more respect for others. Yes. Okay.
Kind.
Caring. Loving.
Serving.
Happier. Absolutely. Forgiving.
Understanding.
Trust.
If they're good people,
there shouldn't be any difference. Go on, Pam. Talking with God. Yes, that we're praying. Going to church. More purposeful in life. Hopeful. Thank you. In reality, all that stuff that we've said, do we think that's real? Is that true? Some yes and some no's. We'll find out a bit about that as things go on. I mean, the people that have researched this stuff, Christians are more likely to vote. They're more likely to give money to charity, and they give more of their income to charity. They're more likely to volunteer to help out with stuff in community. They're likely to live longer. They'll likely have better sex lives, for those of you who are interested in that. There are all sorts of benefits to being a Christian. Mental health, if you're married, obviously. Mental health, generally Christians have better mental health, better physical health, a whole range of other things that show that people who pray, people who love God, people who are Christians, that it does make a difference to us and that we behave differently. But how do we think other people would describe us? Do we think, well, if other people are saying Christians are different, well, what is different about Christians? Do we just go to an old building and do strange things that nobody understands, or is something else going on? Yes. For those who didn't hear that, Christine was saying, somebody once said to her, I wish I was like you. I wish I had what you've got in your life. That people can see something, even if they can't quite put it into words. Often people can see something that's different in who we are and what we are. There was a story that was shared a few years ago when we did the Fruitfulness on the Frontline course of a lady who was she's working as secretary to a horrible boss. All the previous people had lasted just a few weeks and then given up, and she stuck it out for 2 years and were all that time through praying, you know, Lord, why am I doing this terrible job? And then at the end of the 2 years, when she finally couldn't take it anymore, she handed in her notice, and all the other people at work came around and saying, you know what, how did you do that? How did you manage to put up with him? Because we know that the guy's a stinker, and we just don't understand what you've got that enabled you to stick that job out for so long. So sometimes it's particularly when life is tough that people can see that we're different and there's something else different going on in us. The reading that we heard gives us a number of things that are different about us. It says firstly that we're a chosen people. Just think back to PE. When they were choosing the football team or the rounders team or the whatever it was, Just put your, there's a little survey, just put your hand up if you got chosen first. Yeah, well done. Put your hand up if you got chosen last. Okay, so now we know who to make the rounders team out of. I think partly I got chosen last because I had glasses, and in those days glasses were NHS glasses and they came in black or tortoise shell. And mistakenly, I chose a tortoise shell. So I just looked like I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And so the main reason I switched to contact lenses as a kid was because I thought people might choose me in the sports team. But I often got chosen last, or kind of nearly last, just before the fat lad. And so it was, and so that whole experience of when the Bible says you're chosen, God has chosen you, God has picked you out and said, you're mine, I want you on my team. For some of us, if we know what that's like, then we know what that's like. If we don't know what that's like, then that's like, wow, God wants me on his team? Doesn't he know what I'm like? God's chosen you. You're on his team. We're called priests. The priests in the Bible were people that were the kind of go-between, the bridge between everybody else and God. And they would bring other people's prayers to God, and they would bring God's word to everybody else. And Peter, that reading we heard, said, you're priests, you're people that help other people see what God's like. You're a kind of connector. As Christine was saying, you're a connector between people and God. And you can help bring the two together. One of my favorite images of the church is of a dating agency. The church is a dating agency, and we've only got one client on the books, and his name is Jesus. And what we're trying to do is introduce as many people to Jesus as possible so that they can get to know him, spend time with him, and decide that they want a relationship with him. We're priests. We're connecting people with God. The reading said that we're a holy nation. Loads of people are kind of, you know, they'll put the Union Jack flags out. We might even see a few for the Women's World Cup if we get to the final. There'll be the St. George's flags hanging out and on the windows of the vans and everything else. And we like to show what country we belong to. But God says, you're part of my country. You've got a passport to the kingdom of God. However proud you are of whatever group you belong to, be even more proud that you're part of the kingdom of God and of my people. And it says that we're God's own people. We've got a new family. We're family of our Heavenly Father, sons and daughters of God. And we've got a special purpose. That reading said that we're chosen to proclaim, to tell of God's wonderful acts. That we're here to tell other people how amazing God is and to show what that's like. We're different because we've been called, we belong, we've been given a special task. And somebody once said, that a lot of people won't read the Bible. I go to people's homes and I say, have you got a Bible? And they kind of scratch their heads and go, and they think, no, it might be in the attic, or it might be in that box of stuff that when we moved, 10 years ago, I never unpacked it. Somewhere in the house, there might be a Bible, but they've never read it. But they do read you and me. We're the Bible that people read. If people know that we're Christians, and about 2/3 of the country know a Christian pretty well, and so they will read you. And read me. They'll read our lives. We are often the only gospel people will read. And as they read us, they'll see what Jesus is like. And I hope that they see the kindness, the forgiveness, the love, the purpose, the trust, the faith in amongst it. So how do people actually see us? I found this picture on the internet. Do people see us a bit like that? I used to have a purple tank top. There was some research done, and here are some of the words that were used about Christians. Just have a chat with the person next to you, and see if you can place those six words in order. So from the top one, obviously the one that most people identified with Christians, I'll read them in a second if you can't read them, sorry, they're a bit faint. And then the bottom one, the one that people said was least associated with Christians. So caring, foolish, friendly, good-natured, selfish, unhappy. So there are three positive words, caring, friendly, and good-natured. Three negative, foolish, selfish, and unhappy. Just put them in order. What order do you think they came in? Have a chat with the person next to you. This is what people at large in the UK said about Christians. Words they used to describe us. So top one, word most commonly used. Bottom one, word least commonly used. Okay, just have another half a minute. Okay, so little discussion groups. Who wants to kind of give us their ranking of the six, or just even your top one and top and bottom one? Who'd like to kick us off? Yeah, go on, Christine.
Friendly.
So you put friendly at top.
Yeah. Good-natured.
Then good-natured.
Then caring.
Unhappy.
Selfish.
Foolish at the bottom. Okay, so you have the top, the good ones as the top three, the bad ones as the bottom three. Anybody else do that? Anybody else have the good ones as the top three and the bad ones as the bottom three? Most of us. Yeah. But not that way around. What did you have as your top one?
We had caring and unhappy as the bottom one.
Yeah.
Caring, friendly and good natured were the top three.
Yeah.
But we thought we're all foolish sometimes. But selfishness makes you unhappy.
Right. Selfishness makes you unhappy. Very good. Caring, foolish, caring, friendly, and good-natured is the top three. Unhappy is the bottom. Just out of interest, what percentage of people do you think said that they thought Christians were unhappy? Give me a number. A number for how many folk thought Christians were unhappy. What percentage out of 100? 10? 1? Higher? Lower? Anybody think more than 10% thought we were unhappy? More than that? 1%? Okay, how about good-natured? What percent? How many people out of 100 thought Christians were good-natured? Lots. Give me a number. 85%. I think there was only a limited number of words they were allowed to use. But anyway, here are the results. So friendly was top. So people were allowed, I think they were allowed about five words to describe Christians. So friendly, caring and good-natured were the top three words used to describe us. And the bottom three were foolish, selfish and unhappy. Which is still a bit of a challenge, but isn't that great? That actually, as a whole, you know, we see in the newspapers generally, that the stuff about Christians makes us out to be divided, weird, or criminal. Doesn't it? Because that's the only time we're newsworthy or boring. That's the only time we're newsworthy. That's the only time the media and the world bother about us. But all the ones that know particular Christians, they actually think we're okay. And they can say what's different about Christians. We don't just fit in with everybody else. The Christians that they know are friendly and caring and good-natured and generous was the fourth one. So they know that we're different. And we might read the media and think, oh, well, the way that we think that they're different is that they think we're hypocritical and uptight and just caring about rules all the time and we're unhappy. But actually, that's not true. Don't believe what you read. Don't believe what you hear. Believe what your friends and neighbours and work colleagues think, which is this stuff. So they know that we're different. And that's great news, because it might be that there's a conversation, like Christine mentioned, just waiting to happen with somebody who knows you, because they know that you're more forgiving than the average, that you're kinder than the average, that you're more caring than the average. And the chance, when it comes to say why, that it's not just that you're part of a club that tries to be like this, but because of God's Spirit that's working in us. Because there's two things going on. We see Jesus and we want to be like Jesus, but just trying hard to be like Jesus won't work. If I tried hard to run the London Marathon, I would have died after 5 miles, because, to be honest, I'm not fit enough. But actually, God's Spirit is at work in us to change us and make us more like Jesus. It's not just us trying hard, but God is doing a job on you. You are a construction site where God is making something beautiful to look like Jesus, and other people see it. And the world around us might be going in a different direction, and the world around us might be wanting to swim with their tide. We might be surrounded by selfish people but we should stay generous. We might be surrounded by angry, irritable people, but we should stay kind and patient. We might be surrounded by people who are constantly gossiping about that woman down the road who has her music playing at 2 a.m, or that person in the office who's always got a scowl on their face. But we're the ones who don't join in, because we're the ones who see the image of God in everybody. And so that's a precious child of God. Maybe what they need is somebody to take an interest. What they need is somebody to befriend them. What they need is somebody to be kind. So we were born to be different, and we're called to be different. And the church has been like this all through history. In about 250 AD, so back along, before most of us were born, there was a horrendous plague going all the way around the Roman world. And in every city where the plague happened, all the people who didn't have it would just get out as fast as possible. Do you know what the church did? They went in. The Christians went into the cities and towns that had this deadly plague to nurse the sick and the dying. And the emperor at the time, a non-Christian emperor called Julian the Apostate, said, "It's not fair," or words to that effect. "These Christians don't only look after their own sick, they look after ours as well." And in the places where the church had moved in, the death rate, instead of being 30% like it was everywhere else, was 10%. Because love had gone in. Jesus had gone in with his people. And the church grew over those few years by 40%. Even though the Christians were dying of the plague because they'd gone in to help, people saw the love of Jesus. People saw that Christians were different. And they realized that this wasn't just talk. It wasn't just folk who were a little bit nicer. That this was something that they could live for and die for. Because we're different. We're different, and we need to let people see it. So, three little challenges before I pray and hand back to Ruth. Have a think about what difference has being a Christian made to you. How has it changed you? Because that change is part of your story. It's a story that you've got to tell other people. How has Jesus helped me with forgiveness, or with hope, or with a struggle with my health, or a struggle with a relationship? How has Jesus made a difference? We've got a story about being different that we can tell. What is going on around me? What are the ways in which the current and the flow is going against me? And actually pray, say, "Lord, how do I go in the opposite direction to this? If my family or my streets or the club that I'm part of or my workplace, if the culture is going that way and I don't like it, Lord, what can I do to do something back against it? Can I show an act of kindness where people are just grumpy? Can I show an act of forgiveness where everybody else is bitter? Lord, show me something I can do to show that your way is different and that your kingdom's different." And each day, we can say to God, "Lord, just use me. Use me to do something different. Use me to do something kind. Use me to do something that shows that your way is a good way and a better way." So I'm going to pray for us, and then Ruth will take over again. Let me just check if I haven't got another slide. Oh, there we go. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've called us to be different. You've chosen us. You want us on your team, and you want us in your family. And we pray that you'll help us to live out that difference. That you'll show us what it looks like in our daily front lines, in the people that we're with most of the time. Show us the words, the actions, the attitudes that will just show your love in a special way. And Lord, give us confidence. Thank you, Lord, that so many people look at Christians and they recognize that there's something good in our lives. And Lord, we would long that more and more people would see that and share that. More and more people would start to follow Jesus. So we pray that this week you'll use us to do something or say something that will just trigger a question in somebody's mind that will make them want to find out more about you. In Jesus' name, amen.